Hi everybody, this is Dave Rabbit, and boy do I have a treat for you. Back in July of 2006, I became friends and found out about a site called military.com. For those of you that have been fans of the Radio First Termer homepage, here at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com, you have come to enjoy a lot of the military videos that I have snared from military.com and put on the site to our 2 million fan base worldwide. Well, when I talked to Rob the other day and I said, you know, I would really like to interview one of the top dogs at military.com and really get the inside information on the site, what it's about and what it entails, so that people that have enjoyed the military.com military videos that I've been portraying on the site will get an insight into the site itself. And boy, did Rob come through for me. I have the honor to interview Dr. Vincent W. Patton. Dr. Vince Patton is Director of Community Outreach for Military Advantage, a division of Monster Worldwide and the world's largest military membership organization, military.com. In this role, he is responsible for executing grassroots outreach marketing and public relations programs, senior program manager for Department of Defense projects, oversight of the Military Installation Ambassadors Program, and maintaining a close liaison with contacts at all levels in the military community. He joined the organization in September of 2002, first serving on the company's advisory board, then in full-time capacity in November of 2004. Dr. Patton has almost 30 years of military service with the United States Coast Guard. He became the 8th Master Chief Petty Officer of the Coast Guard in May of 1998, which is the highest ranking enlisted position of the Coast Guard, until his retirement in November of 2002. His illustrious career included staff and operational assignments throughout the country, both afloat and offshore. Among his numerous military decorations include the Distinguished Service Medal, the highest peacetime military award. After retirement from the Coast Guard, Vince attended Graduate Theological Union Seminary in Berkeley, California, graduating with a Master of Theology in Applied Religious Studies, and became an ordained Unitarian minister, specializing in community service chaplaincy. While attending the seminary, he was also an adjunct professor at University of California at Berkeley, teaching philosophy of ethics, and as executive director for the Halley's Comet Foundation, a nonprofit organization founded by noted actor John Amos, focusing on urban area at-risk teens around the country, using seamanship and sailing skills as elements for learning life skills and responsibility. In addition to his theology degree, Vince also received his Doctorate of Education degree from American University, a master's degree in counseling psychology at Loyola University at Chicago, and a B.S. in social work from Shaw College, and a B.A. in communications from Pacific College. He is a member of the National Defense Intelligence College Board of Visitors and serves on the Editorial Advisory Board of the United States Naval Institute, as well as a number of corporate and nonprofit organization board positions. Vince is married to his beautiful wife, Joyce, a U.S. Coast Guard officer, and resides in Alexandria, Virginia. He has two children, son Nick, who was a U.S. Army veteran with the 82nd Airborne, who is now a disaster response claims examiner for FEMA, and daughter Amber Lee, who is a liberal arts major in her junior year at California State University, East Bay in Hayward. Again, this interview is brought to you by the courtesy of military.com. For more fun audio and video, please be sure and visit my website at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com. Okay, here it is, the interview with Dr. Patton. Hi, Vince. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you today, Dave?
I'm doing great. So what's the weather up there in Virginia?
Well, this morning, I think it was 11 degrees, and and, you know, we shouldn't complain because we had a wonderful December and November and so forth, and I knew that sooner or later it was going to catch up to us. And being a kid that grew up from Detroit, Michigan, and during my time in the Coast Guard, stationed in some cold weather with snow and so forth, As long as I don't see any snow on the ground, it could be four below. I'm happy.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, listen, you know, when I first got your resume, my immediate thought, especially those that are old Dave Rabbit fans, when I saw the theological connection, I went, boy, great. You know, thank God I've cleaned my act up over the last 4 months. I said, Vince is going to go into that site, and he's going to see, you know, a few questionable things.
Oh,
you know.
No.
Even though, I want to tell you, even though I do have a lot of theological people that are fans of my show, but that's why everything's tagged. I mean, they obviously pass the things that would be explicit, but there's a lot of fun things on there that are not. But when I first saw your resume, I thought, oh, man, I am in so much trouble. This guy is gonna not even give me the time of day once he goes on the site. But anyway, I really appreciate you taking
the
time.
Oh, not at all. I'm happy, happy to be here.
Oh, great. You know, back in July of 2006 was my first exposure to military.com. And when I clicked on the site, I went, wow. And the first thing that really blew me away is the shock and awe. Which is the videos.
Yeah.
And don't a lot of these videos come from just soldiers that are in the field?
They come from all over, and it's interesting how Shock and Awe started. Of course, we kind of took the title from right after when the Iraqi war started, and the air war, of course, was known as Shock and Awe. And within probably a day or two after the start of the Iraqi war, some people started sending us videos from, you know, videos of smart bombs going in on location, and then we started getting videos of all sorts from the troops, and it just came all over. So we didn't know what to do with them at first, and we were in the process of revamping the site a little bit. The young man who was responsible for our Shock and Awe site at the time brought up and said, "Well, hey, why don't we put this all on the site? I bet you people would like it," because he said, "I get these from friends. People are emailing them to me and so forth. You know, let's try it. Let's see what happens." Well, Shock and Awe, the page, turns out to be the most visited page on military.com for obvious reasons.
Oh, I know. You know, and I'm sure there's an addendum to that, but I want to tell you, that's the very first thing that I went to see. You know, once I saw the site and was just blown away by what it does and what it's about, you know, and I did the Shock and Awe. Well, the first thing I did once I started my website at Podomatic is I said, you know, I'm going to take some of these videos and just see what the response will be, you know, as I'm building up my fan base. Well, without exception, except for, you know, maybe a couple of the music shows, people are so entranced with videos of actual war footage. And I flash back to the Vietnam War when, you know, we all kind of grew up with seeing it on TV. This is amazing when you've got, you know, troops in the field in Iraq and all the different places, Afghanistan, and are taking. I mean, there's some videos on there that absolutely blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I started doing is I started looking and putting my favorites on Podomatic, promoting military.com, but showing people, you know, a little inside look into the military, which people are so ignorant about military life, Vince. Don't you agree to a bit?
I do, absolutely. It's interesting. My job as director of community outreach, when someone asks, "Well, what exactly is that job?" And when I tell them what it means, they laugh. I said, it's about educating the public about the military. And I've had a few people laugh at me about that because they says, "Oh, come now, everybody knows about the military." Well, you'd be surprised. And my role at military.com, which, you know, we're a division of Monster, and a lot of folks know Monster is involved with a lot of things, most principally helping people find jobs. Part of our military.com responsibilities is assisting veterans and hiring veterans. And I go about to corporate offices around the country and actually put on presentations about what the people in the military do. And a little more than just putting on a uniform and knowing what time, you know, you got to be served somewhere at a certain time and so forth, but being more specific. And one of the situations that I do is I carry a crate with me that has a bunch of books in it. And I use the example of not just telling people what our military folks do, but just how detailed and extensive their training is. For example, a tank commander. Well, how hard is it to drive a tank? Well, the answer is that that tank commander learns a little bit about hydraulics, basic electricity, basic diesel mechanic work, a little physics, got to know when the angle of the barrel is pointing a certain way and the wind velocity and speed and all these other kinds of things. You know, there's close to maybe 14 or so books that a individual has to go through to learn to be a qualified tank commander. That's just one example of the many exactly. things that our people in the military do. So this education about the military, is again, I'd like to get a little bit beyond the obvious of you wear a uniform, you look sharp, you show up on time, and that's about it.
And, you know, carrying that a little bit further, Vince, people just don't realize the amount of education that it takes to do something like be a tank commander, mm-hmm, as an example. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I guess it's because we're so barraged with movies and we see, you know, guys jumping into a tank because someone has been wounded doing it. Well, that's fine in the movies, but the real world is, especially with the technology that we have today, the real world is that it takes an extreme amount of education to even be able to cut the tank on, much less put it in battle, drive 67, 70 miles an hour on some of the tanks, mm-hmm, which they're capable of doing in battle. I mean, people just don't understand the education process.
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, and some things have gone over the years, you know, back from I can remember, you know, when we talked earlier before we started this interview, your time in the service, military experience has been accredited for college credits, and it's very sophisticated and extensive of the types of skills of what our men and women do, and it's nice to know that they can get college credits for it, and actually very not only do a lot of people who do not know about the military know that this is available, but we even have problems with people in the military knowing that, you know, after completion of boot camp, basic training, you already have 3 semester hours of physical education, and then it goes up from there.
Exactly. You know, let's talk about some of the things that are on the site, which really blows me away. I mean, like, I've got the site open right now, and on the homepage, as an example, you can see the video of a U.S. friendly fire revealed story, and then down here it says Congress short of military experience. And it basically shows what's hot in the news and things, and there's a couple of things. And, of course, my favorite, the big box that says Shock and Awe, where you go to all the movies. On the left-hand side, it amazes me. I just want to touch on a few. It talks about classifieds, and I assume the classifieds are classifieds that are placed by papers all over the world and are looking for experienced people, right?
Well, no, actually the classified section is something for our members. Now, first of all, military.com is free to join. All we ask out of you is just your email address, and we don't spam you. The intent of the email address is that you're signing up to participate in the electronic newsletters or access to the various things that are on the site. The classified section really is about folks that want to buy, sell, and trade. It's kind of our version of an eBay or Craigslist or whatever you want to call it, that our members had asked for, that they felt that, you know, when you do a little horse trading amongst the military community, you tend to get a little more fair deal or a little bit more integrity added in terms of what exactly is being passed on. So that's what our classified section really covers.
Well, for those fans of the original Radio First Terminal show, it's kind of like Dave's swap shot of the year, but obviously it's about things that you can talk about. Okay, you know, GI Bill. Tell me what GI Bill's about on the site.
Well, a little background. The GI Bill, the Education Bill, particularly, as wonderful as it is for our military veterans, very few people take advantage of it. When Chris Michael, the founder of Military.com, created the site, you know, it actually started centered around his understanding that less than half of the people who are eligible for the GI Bill use it in some manner. It really is one of our focus points on Military.com that we give a little education about the entire GI Bill, how to use it, how to access it, links to take you to different sites, both in military.com and outside of military.com, back to the VA sites or wherever, how to download forms that you need to buy a house or taking advantage of your education, or for survivors, the entitlements for survivor benefits and so forth. We try to put all that information to help folks to access their GI Bill.
Okay, how about military spouses?
Well, military spouses is an interesting program that, which pretty much I actually have oversight of. I always remember this phrase that you sign up a soldier, but you retain a family. There's very few things that have been offered specifically to military spouses. We've actually created a site that directs all kinds of things to military spouses, from helping them find jobs, access to different kinds of benefits for their service member, husband or wife, as well as information for them to help them along the way. The Department of Defense found us doing this and contracted us to go a little bit further to actually go out and help recruit companies to hire military spouse. So when a military spouse transfers along with their husband or wife, and there are a great number of guy military spouses now as compared to the last several years, we're working with companies that would help these military spouses have a transportable career as well.
Okay. One of the other things that interested me that when I'm looking down the left-hand side is scholarships. Tell me about what the scholarships is about.
Well, this is an interesting part on our site. We have downloaded, and we're updating it every day, but we have downloaded over $300 million worth of scholarships that are for the military community, for family members, for active duty, retired, veterans, and for military spouses. So we've sort of corralled just sending out information to various organizations, information that we find, and we put the scholarship finders. So when you go to the scholarship search, just type in some specific information, and up pop some scholarships that military family members and military members can take advantage of.
Wow. And let's do a sidebar here. You know, we touched on it, that Monster.com basically is the mother of Military.com to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, because of that extensive background in job finding and whatever, this was a great marriage between the military environment and the military families and real life, right?
Yes, absolutely. Monster bought Military.com in 2004, and it really became a match made in heaven because of the fact that Monster, being the world's largest site on job searches, and one of the big important areas of emphasis for people who transition out of the military is finding a career and finding a very good and successful career. Monster saw the need because, looking at our over 8+ million registered members, that there's a need to help the service members as well as family members as well. So it's really worked out, and we have access to helping people write resumes, job tips, taking personality tests, so you know what you're good for in terms of are you really suited to do this kind of work or not, which comes from one of our Monster divisions. So we do a lot of things that really is all focused on helping people advance their lives.
I mean, I have learned more in just a short span of time talking to you, Vince, than I knew, because, you know, people that know me, I'm not a huge reader. If it's on video, I'll watch it or DVD. But if it's something I got to read, you know, I have some problems with it. The first book that I absolutely read from cover to cover was a book that was sent to me, a gentleman that created a book called Soul Soldiers, which had to do with racism in the Vietnam War. And that is absolutely, I promise you, the first book that I have read, and I can't even remember. I think the last time I read a book was when I was in tech school. So this educational process that you've given me has just been tremendous. Okay, I want to talk about a couple of other things.
Sure.
Let's talk about the forums. You know, when I first went to the forums, I was amazed you guys have it divided out to where there's Marines, there's Coast Guard, there's Navy, there's Air Force, there's Army. They all have their own individual forums, and they all talk about things that have to do with their particular branch of service. There's even for people that like our allies. I know there's one on there for the Canadians, mm-hmm. and also for the Brits.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was blown away when I started looking at some of the topics, because they really start talking about issues that veterans and even active duty military have always had to face, you know, and we've touched on a lot of them. But I think the site really has a tremendous impact on veterans, people that have served, yourself, myself, and literally thousands of others. It gives them a place to where they can go. I know there's like a buddy search thing, which I think is absolutely terrific. I've used it numerous times trying to track down people that I served with, and it's just got some really neat things. Tell me just a little bit about the forums and how it was created and why you guys decided to kind of separate it by branches.
Well, we actually have found this to be probably one of the most valuable management tools for the military. And let me explain why I say that. I stumbled on military.com while I was on active duty as Master Chief Petty Officer of the Coast Guard. How I stumbled onto it was someone sent me an email and said, "Hey, Master Chief, you had just visited this unit and you talked about a particular thing, and the crew didn't quite understand what you said or the way you delivered it. You might want to take a look at military.com and see some of the comments." Well, I military.com, what's that? And I clicked on and I came to this discussion forum. These guys were talking about, they weren't brutal, but they were brutally honest in terms of a topic or subject that I had talked about, how they viewed it, how they understand. Now, granted, when I was there and I asked, "Hey, do you have any questions?" I got the deer in the headlights look, and very few people said anything. Why? Because, either it's an issue of how they could articulate how they respond, or there's a fear of retribution. It could have been any number of reasons, but they let their fingers do the talking by explaining different kinds of things. But what did it do for me? I said, wow. I just grabbed me a piece of information, the old scuttlebutt discussions that you never hear, a little more detail, and I'm able to take this and do something about it. I'm able to say, this is what the people in the field are talking about. So that was my first introduction to military.com. A little
just
background, and at that time, it actually, all of the service were all on one forum. So it sort of morphed itself into that each service, as well as even veterans and even family members, their own little communities, they have different issues, different concerns, different topics that they like to talk about. And each of these topical areas are valuable to the numerous program managers in the Defense Department, within the military services, within the veteran service communities, just an immense amount of information that is out there, as well as that man-in-the-street discussion about the news of today and how people are reacting to different kinds of things. So it's become so, so valuable. Next to Shock and Awe, it's one of our most fascinating and extraordinary pieces on the site that people jump right to, because they want to hear or see what people are talking about. It's like reading a radio program or a television program or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's entertaining to some degree, but it's also very, very informative. And we are just excited to see how it goes, and we try to keep it civil. We have moderators on the site that keeps the discussion in line, and you do get a few folks that jump off the track or they decide to take things up to another level that takes it past the PG mode, but that's
right.
What moderators are for. But for the most part, it's just fascinating. We really. For good or bad of the comments that come out, I mean, we've even been criticized. We, the company, been criticized. Military.com did this and this and this and this, and this is awful. And it's, hey, we just heard from our members telling us something, and we'll do something about it. So it's great. It's not often I would define it as my most enjoyable site on our page, but only when I say enjoyable because it falls under community outreach, so it means I got a lot of work to do when I read these things. But
yeah, and everything kind of falls on your desk to a degree when it has to do with the community and the PR aspect.
That's correct.
Of it,
yeah, that's correct. That's correct. But it's very valuable. It, I'd like to say it makes a hero out of me.
Well, you're a hero in everybody's book, as far as I can see. I mean, you know, you had more college education in just one of these titles, Vince. I'd still be in school at 58 if I tried to accomplish everything you accomplished in that span of time.
Well, as my daughter says, I'm a slow learner.
Well, hey, better to be slow and have a title than be slow and have nothing. Let's talk about the Coast Guard. Of course, you're over a 30-year veteran of the U.S. Coast Guard. First, before I go into my questions about your choices of the Coast Guard and whatever, you know, we have my wife and I have a place that is on Padre Island, which is a kind of a South Texas on the coast in the Gulf of Mexico. And we have a condominium, and it looks over. Well, there's not a single day on the beach that goes by that once an hour or so, there are that orange Coast Guard choppers going up and down the coast, you know, I ostensibly to look for sharks or people that are stranded or whatever, or people trying to get in the United States illegally. When the Coast Guard was founded, I mean, from everything that I can tell, and obviously your 30 years is going to be able to set me straight, that wasn't the Coast Guard originally founded to basically protect the perimeters of the United States and nothing more than that?
Well, actually, the Coast Guard was founded to collect taxes. It was called the Revenue Cutter Service when it first started. And it was.
You're kidding me.
Exactly. And it was the brainchild of Alexander Hamilton, our gentleman on the $10 bill. And here's a piece of trivia why he's on the $10 bill. Because in his brainchild of creating this Coast Guard, this service, the new nation needed money. And so you had ships coming in and out of port that did not pay their tariffs. And also there was concern about piracy in the high seas. So Alexander Hamilton convinced Congress to authorize funding to build 10 ships, which was known as cutters, to collect taxes and to stop piracy on the high seas. And that's why Alexander Hamilton's on the $10 bill.
Golly, boy, 1-800-VINCE. If you have trivia questions,
the service's mission evolved over the years to doing the search and rescue and protecting the environment and all these other kinds of things occurred over the years but the Coast Guard is and always has been a military service. When it was created in 1790, it fell under the Treasury Department, which Alexander Hamilton was Secretary of Treasury. But it was defined as a military service and also defined that in time of war or when so ordered by the president, the Coast Guard becomes an element of the Navy, just like the Marine Corps is an element of the Navy. But it will always operate in peacetime at the initial time was under the Department of Treasury, then later moved to the Department of Transportation in 1967, and in 2004 became part of now the Department of Homeland Security. But pretty much the name it implies, guarding the coast, has sort of what the bigger part of the mission of the Coast Guard is today after 9/11.
You know, that really blows me away. I probably, if I read books, would have been able to find that out. But it sounds better coming from someone with your expertise, Vince. So I'm glad you said everybody straight. And I love the fact of Bill. That's how this picture came.
That's right. That's a good trivia for you.
Well, see, I thought maybe they, you know, were getting quarters and throwing it up against the wall, and you know, like we used to do as kids when we were growing up, when we had nothing to play with except quarters.
I read that initially Hamilton was going to go on the $5 bill, and it was through some research of the historian that said there's a significance of the number 10. Now, I don't know any significance about anybody else. Maybe the $1 bill because it's the first one and it went to George Washington. But from that point on, I think there may have been some reason. But there was a method to madness of putting Hamilton on the $10 versus the $5 bill.
Okay, let's take the Coast Guard story just a tad further. As I told you, you know, I see Coast Guard choppers all over the South Texas area, and I'm sure they're all over, you know, all the coast all the way around.
In fact, while we're talking, there's a good chance you might hear one come by me here because it buzzes my office building here about every 3 hours.
Well, that's because you probably have friends that say, oh, let's go by and get Vince. You better be glad you didn't tell them that you were going to do this interview with me, or there'd be all kinds of buzzing. You know, I saw the movie, which was really about Coast Guard rescue, The Guardian, with Kevin Costner, and it was a magnificent movie, and it really showed the spirit of the Coast Guard to go out in weather that's just, I think there was a, and apologies to all my Navy friends, but there was that one scene where they're in the Navy bar.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the Navy's not real fond of the Coast Guard. They made a statement. He says, you know, we go out when the Navy doesn't. We do this, we do this, we do this. And I thought, you know, wow. You know, and I'm sure that's pretty factual, is it not?
That's pretty factual. I mean, well, first of all, the Coast Guard and the Navy has a great relationship. It's, you know, I think that's the only part of the movie that I thought was a little too hokey, and I wished it wasn't in there because the service rivalry thing is I think it's now become a myth. I mean, of course, in the earlier days it was, but as far as the Coast Guard Navy relationship, it had always been very, very good, and it had always been very, very good because of the Navy's focused respect of the Coast Guard for what the Coast Guard does, being a the shallow water sailors. In reality, is that the need for having somebody available in that shallow water, particularly in Vietnam, you had the Coast Guard small boats that were running up the Mekong Delta, and also they were the trainers of the pilots of those swift boats and so forth. So there was an awful lot that the Coast Guard lend to the Navy's talents and expertise to make it the kind of fighting machine that it is. So it's really, you know, it's really a very, very good relationship that the Coast Guard and the Navy has with all the other services as well.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think a lot of it's just this myth that, you know, it has traveled on over the years. And when I first saw it, I thought, yeah, well, you know, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, and the point really was about the kid saying, you know, we go out. And of course, I know for a fact, because I do read the papers occasionally, Vince, you know, I have seen articles where the guys, the rescue guys, go out into waters that just are astronomical in choppers and whatever to try to save people and to try to, you know, give them that last lifeline of saving. You know, I just have the utmost respect for those guys that go out and do that every day.
Well, you know, it takes a special kind of talent and individual to do that. It's an old term coined that I don't know who originated, but, you know, the ordinary people that do extraordinary things. I served for just slightly over 30 years with the finest group of men and women that had the capability as well as the confidence to be able to use their mind and their body together to save lives and protect the environment, to be able and capable during the weathered storms and so forth to make things happen. And it just amazes me about how our people are. And I can remember even from just my own personal experience of being in various situations, and in the end you look back and say, wow, did I do that? Was I really out there? You know, but it gives me goosebumps just thinking about the fact that we have some wonderful Americans that have the ability and the capability of making things happen.
And, you know, boy, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm constantly amazed, Vince. Maybe amazed is not the right word. I'm constantly proud of when I see stories of unselfish acts by our soldiers overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. I read one the other day that just really blew me away. And you always see these movies where the guy jumps on the grenade or the explosive device or whatever to save his buddies. And to read about someone actually doing that, didn't even think about it, didn't even have to say, what are the consequences if I do this?
That's right.
His only thought was to protect his buddies, and throws himself on and obviously kills him. Things like that, those acts of heroism, like you say, are by ordinary people that are placed in an unusual situation and produce extraordinary in results. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. I mean, myself included, being placed in, in some situations to where, you know, like I said, looking back and saying, wow, you know, but it's just great.
Okay, in the 30 years that you were in the Coast Guard, and as we're closing out here, I just kind of, this is just on a personal note, 30 years in the Coast Guard, tell me your best story, your best Coast Guard story as far as a situation that you may have been in when you were at sea.
Well, you know, it was very, very early in my Coast Guard career. I was a shipboard radio operator when I started out. I was probably, within my first year in the Coast Guard. And I'm going to back up just really quickly to say how I joined the Coast Guard. I was going to join the Navy, and I walked into the wrong recruiting office because back then the Coast Guard uniform was a Navy uniform. And I was so embarrassed I didn't want to walk out, but I was mesmerized by these pictures that were hanging on the wall that the recruiter had put up. And these were pictures that the recruiter had taken himself, action shots that he had. And I was staring at him, and I'll never forget what he said to me. He says, I will guarantee you if you join the Coast Guard, you will be in one of those pictures within your first year. And boy, was he ever right. Fast
wow.
forward to April of 1973. I was aboard a cutter, the Coast Guard cutter Dallas, which was home ported out of New York, and we were on Ocean Station. We get a radio call for help. A Soviet trawler was in need of assistance because the first mate had his head bashed in from a tackle block. Now remember, this is 1973. We're still in the middle of the Cold War, and the fact that to have the Russian or the Soviets, as they were called at the time, to even think about calling for help and knowing that the answer was going to be the United States on the other end was unthinkable and not a very good idea from their standpoint. However, if this was a trawler, then they needed an awful lot of antennas to find fish.
Oh, yeah, really?
You know, so really, it was probably some listening vessel or whatever. But we get the call. We had to get the guy stable. While it took us about 9 hours to reach the trawler. So in the nine-hour time of reaching a trawler, we had a doctor back in New York at the Rescue Coordination Center that was relaying medical information that had to be relayed to the ship. Now, the way it had to be done was by Morse code. And I was the fastest Morse code operator on the ship. And the only reason why I was the fastest is I learned it when I was in the Boy Scouts. And so when I went into radioman school, I already knew Morse code, so I only just got proficiently better. And so, because this was a very, very important case, because it was all of, you know, there was the country was watching, so to speak. And what I mean by that is that, the United States wanted to put a good front on that we were going to help out the Soviets. And at the same time, I think that there was another ulterior motive to sort of catch them in the act, so to speak. But that's it. It was very sensitive. And sensitive to the point that we wanted to be successful in this rescue. The captain, while this was going about and realizing that the only way to relay information to keep the sailor comfortable was that it had to be 100% accuracy on that Morse code circuit. The captain turns to me, here, Vince Patton, with just under 1 year in the Coast Guard and just two and a half months out of radio school, says, Patton, you're my best man for that circuit. And I want you to stay on it until we get that guy transferred. It was 9 hours. And for nine straight hours, I was sending and receiving Morse code back and forth. You know, and in result, we saved the guy. You know, it was the most exciting thing for me, because all I could think about was that recruiter telling me, within 1 year, you're going to be in that picture. Boy, was he telling the truth. And,
strictly because, I mean, it was just an amazing situation where you sit there and got a Russian trawler, you know, and you're thrown to the wolves, so to speak,
right,
on the Morse code. Well, you know, you mentioned that, you know, that you did that in Boy Scouts initially. So did you get a merit badge for Morse code?
I sure did, yeah.
Do you still have – well, all I know is, but do you still have it?
I so sure 40, do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah,
because, when people hear this, because, you know, now you – oh, you were an Eagle Scout.
I sure am.
Well, now, see, now there you go, Scouts. Now, here's a – you talk about a role model. Vince Patton is definitely a role model for Scouts everywhere. Because little do you know, what little thing you learned in the Boy Scouts falls over and goes into a career.
Absolutely.
Boy.
That's
a great story.
Right.
You know, and I mean, the only sidebar I can think of is kind of put a humorous edge on the thing is it's a good thing that the captain knew that you were the best expert on the ship. If Vince had been sick or, you know, tired or wasn't able to, broken finger, whatever, you know, his Morse code finger's broken or whatever, and I'm sure you could use others, but I'm just giving a story here. And then they get this guy in there that is like me, doesn't like reading books a lot, and he starts, you know, doing Morse code for 9 hours. Who knows? You know, there could be missiles launched back then.
That's right, yeah.
Who knows what could have been said, you know, by somebody if it wasn't Vince Patton? That was a great story, man. Well, listen, Vince, I know you've got 1,000 things going on, people banging on your door, and I got to tell you, and I want you to hang on once we get off air so I can say goodbye properly, but just for the on-air part, I want to say it's been a real honor and a pleasure to be able to talk to you. I want to personally thank Rob Rodriguez, who is the forum's manager, if you will, for military.com. Rob and I have developed a kind of a kinship over the last several months, and I asked him, I said, you know, I would really like to interview somebody, one of the top dogs of military.com. And boy, I tell you, you may not be the top dog, Vince, but my book, your thumbs up, brother.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. What a great guy. And what a great guy. And I just can't thank you enough.
Well, I want to say real quickly about Rob Rodriguez, a phenomenal guy. I can't say enough about him. He is our superstar. So it's no surprise that you have some good words to say about him, because he really is our superstar. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, and I wanted to be sure that we also said. But there was one other thing I wanted to tell you, and that is I am a frequent flyer, if you will, on a website called AboveTopSecret.com, and it's pretty much conspiracy theories and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I lovingly call it Disneyland for Nuts. But, you know, in the months that I have been there, I have communicated with just a ton of ex-military veterans, and I am surprised at the number that have never heard of military.com, and that was another reason that I wanted this to be a catalyst, because you guys are, you know, I mean, you're the number one military site in the world as far as education and information and that kind of stuff, but yet, you know, there's a bunch of people that don't know you exist. So if anything happens to this show that, you know, other than it getting to people that may not know about military.com, if I can just accomplish that with your gracious help that you've given me and Rob's, that, you know, if we can just let everybody know, if you want to know anything about the military, whether it's benefits, whether it's, you know, about discussion boards, whether it's about news or the shock and awe, which is my favorite, or just getting on the forum and talking to people that are ex-veterans, and I mean, it goes back to World War II. I think there's still some of those guys around. I saw one guy pick a post the other day, and I thought, you know, ask this guy if, you know, if he's really alive, you know, or if they've mummified him and he's just, you know, using that Morse code clicker like you have. It's just been a terrific conversation with you, Vince. I can't thank you enough. I again, want to thank Rob for putting me in touch with you, and I especially want to thank military.com for their courtesy and allowing us to get together and have this great conversation where we can make people aware of the number one military site in the world, of all the benefits of service for all military people, men and women and veterans, military.com.
Thank you, Dave. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dr. Vincent W. Patton. Again, the interview with Dr. Patton was brought courtesy of www.military.com. That's www.military.com. I want to leave you with a song for soldiers of the past, soldiers of the present, and soldiers of the future, written by Paula Blade and John Walker of the band Lochinvar. Their website is www.lochinvar.net. That's LochInvar.net. Remember, you don't have to support a war to support the soldiers that are fighting it. Peace, everybody.
looking up with bright questioning eyes, asking her papa, what will I be? He saw himself and he smiled. I know I'm just a mere little girl, and they tell me with no common sense, will I be glad making my way in this world, or satisfied to pretend? A poet, a dreamer, a writer of songs, and will I have a home? A carpenter, a soldier, a captain of a pirate ship, and is that really wrong? Danger for him.